Right? Who told me first about the gospel? Like, flat out, Dee Watson. She told me, right? Unashamed, just, you know, I thought she was crazy. You know, what's this lady doing? You know, praise God for her, you know? Let us not be ashamed. Deliver me in thy righteousness. Moving on. Deliver me in thy righteousness. That word deliver means escape or to carry away safe. Boy, God can sure carry us away safe. You know, he does that every day. I mean, we get up in the morning, we're carried away, we're good. I'm breathing, you know. It's good. What's important to note here, though, is in whose righteousness, right? So, deliver me in thy righteousness. He's referring back to the Lord. The Lord's righteousness. So, go with me real quick to 2 Corinthians chapter 5. And we'll flip around a little bit here at the beginning. It doesn't say, deliver me in my righteousness. It says, deliver me in thy righteousness. 2 Corinthians chapter 5 and verse 22. Sorry, in verse 21. 2 Corinthians 5, 21. For he hath made him to be sin for us who knew no sin, that we might be made the righteousness of God in him. Right? Referring to Christ in him. That's, you know, his. We know that, right? Christ's righteousness was placed on our account. He's our propitiation. There was an exchange there. But it's in thy righteousness that we are kept. It's in the Lord's righteousness. It's in the righteousness of Christ. It's not in our righteousness, and we understand that, right? Philippians 3:9 goes on to tell us. It says, and be found in him, not having mine own righteousness, which is of the law, but that which is through the faith of Christ, the righteousness which is of God by faith. Not having mine own righteousness, right? And I think we talked about that maybe last time, Isaiah 64:6, but we are all as an unclean thing, and our righteousness are as filthy rags. Romans 3:10. As it is written, there is none righteous, no, not one. That's hard to swallow, you know, really. Especially coming to the Lord new or trying to share the gospel with somebody. Because we think we're all right, you know. We think we're pretty good people. But when we can understand that our righteousness, there's filthy rags. And there's, you know, no one good. No, not one. We know that. For all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. I mean, it's very clear that we're not much. But through Christ, you know. And it's not in a self-defeating, like, depressed, like, oh, man, I don't amount to nothing. Well, we don't really. I mean, but Christ amounts to everything. And it's in his righteousness. So, as David, we see here, in thee, O Lord, do I put my trust. We see where our trust should be. Let me never be ashamed. Deliver me in thy righteousness. Thy righteousness. Verse 2. Let me go back there. Psalm 31, verse 2. Bow down thine ear to me. Deliver me speedily. Be thou my strong rock for an house of defense to save me. Bow down thine ear to me. You know. Hey God. You know. Got some prayer going on here. We look at Hebrews. Go to Hebrews chapter 4. Please. I've got to say please more often. I've been informed of that. I can't just direct, right? Please and thank you. I got to work on my manners. So Hebrews chapter 4 and verse 14 through 16. Seeing that we have a great high priest that has passed into the heavens, Jesus the Son of God, let us hold fast our profession, for we have not an high priest which cannot be touched with the feeling of our infirmities, but was in all points tempted like as we are, yet without sin. Let us therefore come boldly unto the throne of grace, that we may obtain mercy and find grace to a help in time of need. Bow down thine ear, Lord God. We can come to God boldly. We can come to God in prayer. We can come to God. There's times you can come to God and you don't even have to have the words. I mean, the Holy Spirit can speak. I mean, God can know. There's times where we ache and we hurt to a point where we don't know what to say to God, and we can come before Him, and we can trust in that, and we can rest in that. We can take refuge. We can lean on God. John 15:7 says, "If ye abide in me and my words abide in you, ye shall ask what ye will, and it shall be done unto you." 1 John 5:14, "And this is the confidence we have in him, that if we ask anything according to his will, he heareth us." So we have that assurance. We have the assurance of coming to God boldly. We saw there in Hebrews, we have the assurance that if ye abide in me, if we're in Christ, and Christ's words or God's word abides in us, ye shall ask what ye will, and it shall be done unto you, according to John 15:7. Right? And this is the confidence. We have confidence, 1 John, like we just read, 1 John 5:14, and this is the confidence we have in him. If we ask anything according to his will, he heareth us. Do we have, I ask that, do we have that confidence in prayer? Do we pray in faith, believing God will do what God's word says he will do? But we've got to be cautious, right? We get a caution from James. James 4:3 says, "Ye ask and receive not, because ye ask amiss, that ye may consume it upon your lusts." So just a little, a thought there as we do go forward and we do come before the Lord and we do, we got to examine ourselves in a reflective manner and say, you know, where are we at? What are we praying for? You know, many times God is withholding. I'm not English here. God withholds things. And maybe at first I question, you know, what... where's that, I've been praying, what's going on here? And every single time, and I know you can vouch for this, every single time the result is far better than what I expected to happen. I mean, that just, it never fails. It is always better than what I thought. That's the only situation where that happens in life. I mean, most of the time, you know, you think, like, you go to, like, we went to Hardee's. We went to a local fast food restaurant. And man, I thought, I want a hamburger. And I'm telling you what, when we got home, it got thrown in the garbage. You know, it was disappointing. It was vain, you know. That picture is not what you get. And I knew that, but it's like, I tried it anyway. But and many things are like that. Many things of the world. I'll say people are like that. You know, people cannot deliver on results. And you know, there's been times, many times, where I've fallen short with that follow through with folks. And you know, that's not a good thing. But God, we know that, you know, is guaranteed that his ways will result in a far better outcome than we could ever imagine. And that's a good thing. So we have that ability to go before the Lord, to bow down, or to for him to bow down thine ear. We see here, he will come down and hear us, is what I'm getting at. He will hear us. Deliver me speedily, we see brought out next here. It means to carry away quickly, right? David here doesn't want to be waiting around. You know, he's eager. He's expecting. Let me go back real quick here. My little marker blends in with the... There we go. Sorry. Bow thou thine ear to me, deliver me speedily. Be thou my strong rock for an house of defense to save me. Deliver me speedily, right? David's not wanting to wait around. He's eager, expecting. You know, are we eagerly waiting on God's answers and direction? You know, going back to kind of the prayer. I mean, we know that the results are going to be better than we could imagine. But am I eagerly awaiting the results? You know, maybe I've already made a decision that it's unanswered, you know, or maybe I've made a decision that it's an answered prayer, and then something comes along. And, you know, that's where, like, we have our time and then we have, like, Bible time. And most of the time it doesn't, you know, doesn't add up. It's not the same. And it's funny how we can know this in our head, but the action or the application to our life is very difficult. You know, it's easy to know here, but it's difficult to live and apply to our lives. So are we eagerly waiting on God's answers and directions? Are we seeking God through prayer? He will hear us, right? We know that. But are we waiting, expecting answers? We see later or next, be thou my strong rock, right? 1 Corinthians 10:4 says, and did all drink the same spiritual rock? For they drank of that spiritual rock and followed them, and that rock was Christ. So we have this rock defined in a figurative fashion. It is a refuge. And again, kind of that same, we can run to, we can go to the Lord. He is our strong rock. He is the rock. For an house of defense to save me. I mean, really straightforward. The Lord is our defense and He saves us. Deuteronomy 20 and verse 4 says, "For the Lord your God is He that goeth with you to fight for you against your enemies to save you." You know, and you think back through different Bible accounts, you have, you know, the Exodus, and they're coming up to the Red Sea, and you have Moses, and who parted the Red Sea, right? I mean, it was God. God did that. What about the Jordan? Who stayed the Jordan River? God did that. Who broke down the walls of Jericho? You know, God did that. And it goes on and on and on through the Word. That it's God that does the saving. It's God that fights the battles. I mean, we're very much a part of that. We're very much in God's will. He has a plan and a practical use for us, for sure. But many times I find myself getting caught up in these things, in these battles, and not realizing that, you know, I'm a part of the situation, but God ultimately fights the battles. God delivers us. God saves us. God created us. God decides when we go back, you know, home to Him. God plays all these things through, and praise God, we get to be part of that. We get to be born into the family. We get to be saved from our sin. We get to have a home in heaven. But it's God that will fight for us against our enemies. It says, against your enemies to save you. We got a lot of enemies. We'll look at that here in a little bit. We do have some armor, though, right? For a house of defense. We have some defense that God gives us that we can use. And look in Ephesians 6 for me. You know where we're going with that. We have some defense, some weaponry. I don't know. This tie probably doesn't do too much. It's not very structurally sound up here, but we got some good stuff. We got loins girt about with truth, right? Let's look at that. Go to, with me to Ephesians chapter 6, and we'll look and start in verse 12. For an house of defense to save me. That's the section of the verse we're on there in Psalms. So let's look at that. Let's look at that defense. Right? So in verse 12, Hebrews chapter 6, "For we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places." And I'm going to tell you, I'm just going to stop right there and go on an opinion. Like, that's what we're seeing, right? Brother Electric, what you were talking, this is what we're seeing happen, play out right now with all this stuff, with coronavirus, with the riots, with, "For we wrestle not with flesh and blood, but powers," right? We've got some stuff happening. "Wherefore," but look at this. God is our defense. Look at this. "Wherefore, take unto you the whole armor of God." Note that says whole armor of God. Doesn't say part. Doesn't say I'm going to take what I want. It says take the whole armor of God, that ye may be able to withstand the evil day, and having done all to stand. Stand therefore, having your loins girt about with the truth, and having on the breastplate of righteousness, and your feet shod with the preparation of the gospel of peace. Above all, taking the shield of faith, wherewith ye shall be able to quench all the fiery darts of the wicked. And take the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God." So we got some armor. We got some defense. We got some things here that we can take with us, that we can rely on during these attacks, during these times where we have to deal with the fiery darts, when we have to deal with things that come our way. We've got truth. We've got the righteousness of Christ. We've got the gospel of peace, the shield of faith, the helmet of salvation. We've got the word of God. We've got the sword of the Spirit. Verse 3, back in Psalms. "For thou art my rock and my fortress." For thou art my rock and my fortress. Similar to what we just discussed, right? This refuge. This idea of safety from the enemy, safety from the world, safety from Satan. I mean, many times, you know, it's like just kind of lay in bed and pray and think, and You know, I guess a lot of people might say, like, I go to my happy place. It's not. I mean, I guess you could say that, but I mean, it's going to God. It's going to God. It is the living God that we can come to and take refuge. It's like curling up. Me and my dad have a great relationship, and I remember, like, as a kid, sitting on his lap, sort of, and like kind of laying my head against his chest, and the comfort I found in that. And that's the feeling that the Holy Spirit gives me when I go to God in refuge. When I've had a day where I've made a bunch of mistakes, or I've messed up, or I wronged somebody, or something happened, that to go to God and take refuge and know that He is my rock, He is my fortress, as David says here, "For Thou art my rock and my fortress," and we can go in there and we can rest in that assurance, and we can lay our head on His chest. You know, we can come to the Father and we can put it out there. We can get ourselves clean. We can put it out before the Lord and have a peace inside from that. It's good. The next part of verse 3 says, "Therefore, for Thy name's sake, lead me and guide me." We'll read the whole verse again. "For Thou art my rock and my fortress. Therefore, for Thy name's sake, lead me and guide me." So David's saying here, not for his own sake, but for Thy sake. "For Thy name's sake, lead me." Talking about the Lord. He wants to be led and guided for the Lord's sake. Right? Because David recognizes that the Lord is his rock, it's his fortress, and he's willing to be led for the Lord's sake. And that's another question I pose to you and to myself, is are we willing to be led for the Lord's sake, to accomplish His will, to rest on His promises, and to take refuge in Christ as the only means of salvation and provision? So are we resting on the Lord? Are we asking to be led for the Lord's sake, to be guided for the Lord's sake, or for our own sake, for our own benefits, for our own comforts and pleasures? You know, are we able to rely on God's promises and realize His provision? You know, sometimes things have to happen. I know for me to realize, like, that I don't have control like I think I do, you know, and many times it's easy for us to I heard it said, this is not original to me, but I heard this said, that it would be easier if we failed every time that we stepped aside from God. If every time I stepped away from God and tried to perform an action, if I failed, you know, I would be more likely to go to God and turn to God, you know, in all things. But we are able to succeed in some things apart from God. Not well and not for long. It's usually it crumbles and falls and things aren't good, but it does happen for a moment. And we kind of fool myself and think, okay, I got that. But anyway, are we willing to be led for the Lord's sake? What are we doing? Or do we come to church for our own sake or for the Lord's sake? I mean, I'm not saying, you know, it's good for us and we ought to do these things, but it's, and like Pastor said last week, it's to please the Lord. You know, Revelation 4:11, you know, we're to bring God glory. And is that our chief motivation? I guess is what I'm getting at. It kind of falls in line with that verse. You know, are we to be led for the Lord's sake? Are we to get up and go to work for the Lord? Are we to get up and witness for the Lord? Are we to not be ashamed of the gospel for the Lord? Or, you know, self-benefit, things like that. Verse 4, "Pull me out of the net that they have laid privily for me." Just sort of asking there to be removed from this situation. And this net that they have laid privily. Privily means to hide or in private. It means to hide a snare, to do in secret, to plot against. And, you know, we can get this image maybe of David, you know, a David's enemy setting up a trap for him, you know. And, he did a lot of battle and a lot of warfare and things like that. You know, but if we look at our situations on a daily basis, I mean, I don't have enemies waiting around the corner. I mean, when I walk out there, nobody's going to jump around the corner. But boy, do we have enemies that we got one big enemy that sets traps for us. You know, he's lurking around, you know. And 1 Peter 5:8 says, "Be sober, be vigilant, because your adversary, the devil, as a roaring lion, walketh about seeking whom he may devour." You know, and he's hiding around there. You know, he's not sleeping on the job, you know. So we've got to be careful. We've got to be careful what temptations cross our path. We've got to be careful our reactions to things. And difficult not to justify wrong reactions because somebody else did something that you didn't agree with or you did. Like, okay, so if Leland does, you guys, I mean, everybody has kids, much more experienced raising kids than I am. But, you know, if they do something wrong and I get mad and yell at Leland, let's say, because nobody else has ever yelled at their kids. So, you know, yell at Leland for doing something wrong. Is that right? I mean, that's not right behavior for me to get angry at him. You know, but I can justify it and say, well, he acted this way. You know, but it's hard to control that reaction many times. It's hard to control those temptations that are set before us or these situations that come before us that I'm kind of long-winded here, is we have situations that give us an opportunity to react in a Christ-like manner, and we have situations that give us an opportunity to react in the flesh. And, you know, I guess I'm equating that to these traps, you know, that we see here that are laid, you know. And as we go through our daily basis, you know, there, how many times can we check the box of, you know, didn't explode, you know, didn't yell at the guy that cut me off, didn't, you know, did I do this, did I do that? And how many times do we check the box of, Lord, forgive me for saying this, Lord, forgive me? You know, we all are going to make mistakes, but, you know, the traps are laid, the devil's lurking, and we've got to be vigilant, we've got to be mindful. And again, like we saw in Ephesians, we're wrestling against principalities and powers in high places, things that we can't even see, you know, spirits and negative things we can't visually see these things, but it's definitely at work. But again, it's God's plan, it's God's battle. We stay in tune with God, and we can go to Him. He will deliver us. For Thou art my strength. Again, David is acknowledging where his strength is derived, where it comes from. You know, he realizes it's not his own. It's not David's strength. It's not our strength by which we accomplish things. It's wholly of God and the fact that we are in Christ. It's not Nick. It's not Chris. You know, it's Christ. The strength lies in the Lord, you know. So we see that there, for Thou art my strength. Thou art my strength. Again, we saw earlier, it's Thy righteousness, you know, and then we're to be guided for Thy sake. I mean, we see this continuous pointing to God. You know, we see David talking here, writing here, but we see this pointing back to the Lord. Is that how we live our lives? Do we recognize that that's the position that we are in? And lastly, verse 5, into Thine hand I commit my spirit. Thou hast redeemed me, O Lord God of truth. Into Thine hand I commit my spirit. Again, whose hand? It's into the Lord's. He's pointing back to the Lord. And to commit, it's interesting. It means to give a charge, deliver to keep, or to make overseer. And that's another question we could pose to ourselves. Have we committed our spirit, our lives, to the Lord? Have we allowed the Lord to be overseer of our life? You know, more so than like Sunday morning, Sunday evening, Wednesday. You know, is that when I'm going to commit? I'm like, Lord, I'm going to go to church and I'm not going to miss a beat. My attendance is going to be 100% because I'm on fire for God. But what do we do on Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday? Well, Wednesday till 7, Thursday, Friday, you know? How many times, you know what I'm saying. You get what I'm saying. I just ask that you come before and think about that. Have we allowed the Lord to be overseer in our lives? Have we committed ourselves to the Lord? Thou hast redeemed me, right? And redeemed meaning, you know this, it means to pay a price, right? To be bought. 1 Corinthians 6:20 says, for ye are bought with a price, therefore glorify God in your body and in your spirit, which are God's. They belong to God. We belong to God. He created us. We've accepted Christ. We've been born again. It also means to set free. So we've been bought for a price. We've been bought. We've been redeemed. There's been a transaction. And we've been set free. We've been set free from sin, from servitude. Galatians 5:1, stand fast therefore in the liberty wherewith Christ hath made us free, and be not entangled again with the yoke of bondage. John 8:32, and ye shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free. And what an illusion the world has for people that of what freedom is. And I'll use I guess I'll use myself as an example in terms of an addiction, right? So I used to let's say smoke cigarettes, all right? I used to smoke cigarettes, and I'm not harping on people who smoke cigarettes, but that's an addiction. That's a bondage. That's a sin, really. I mean, you're harming yourself. And anyway, whatever it is, it doesn't have to be cigarettes. It could be cheeseburgers. It could be reading. It could be anger. I mean, apply it. It doesn't have to be drugs and alcohol. But we're free from that bondage. We're free. We have liberty in that, because if I smoke, then I get coffee would be a better one, because I am addicted to coffee, and it's socially acceptable to drink coffee, so I could use that and be a better one. So I have an issue with coffee, and that when I get into the afternoon, I feel really bad if I don't have a cup of coffee. I get a headache, and it's a physical withdrawal. It's not a good thing. I'm dependent on that coffee. Someone who smokes is dependent on cigarettes. Someone who drinks alcohol is drug dependent on that habit. But one would argue, myself as an unsaved person, would argue that I would have then the freedom to choose to smoke cigarettes. I would have the freedom to drink coffee, the freedom to choose to wear a mask or not, right? That's the big thing now. I have a freedom to do these things. But we're fooled. We're in bondage to those things. We're not free that we can choose to smoke a cigarette. We're not free that we can choose to drink coffee, because we're not, because it has us in bondage. But Christ, just like the only thing that will deliver us and have a better result in the end, but Christ, through Christ, we're made free from the bondage of sin. We're made free from that sin debt. We're made free. Man, I'm telling you, that liberty, wherewith Christ hath made us free, be not tangled again with the yoke of bondage. We're not in bondage with Christ. Through Christ, in salvation, we are not in bondage to anything but the Lord Jesus. Now that is something to be excited about. That's it. But we've got to understand that's the case. So if we have a sin that we're dealing with, or an issue in our life, you know, we want to get clean before God, we've got to realize that that thing in our life doesn't have power. It doesn't have control, because we're made free from that through our salvation. But we can be fooled sometimes. And like I said there in John 8, like the Bible says, John 8:32, and ye shall know the truth, and the truth shall set you free. It's the only freedom that we're going to have. It's the only freedom that we do have. It's the freedom from coronavirus. It's the freedom from the news. It's the freedom from the world. It's the freedom from every issue that we deal with today. Past, present, and future is in Jesus Christ. So, we know that Christ is the way, the truth, and the life. And we know that God's word is truth. And that's good enough. I mean, that's what we need. That's all we need. So again, I just asked this evening, and like I said, we're done, I don't know, about 10 minutes early or so, but I just asked that you think on some of these things that we focused on tonight, you know, trust, going to God, taking refuge, the righteousness that we have through Christ, the ability that we can come to the Lord openly in prayer, put it all at the feet of Jesus. We have deliverance from sin, from bondage. We've been redeemed. We have strength in that. We can rely on the Word. We can take refuge in the Word. And most of all, and we can agree and we can disagree and we can banter and go back and forth on all these different things that we see nowadays and have always seen in the world. But I think we can all come back to the fact that God's Word is true, and we can stand on that as believers and rest assured in that. So I thank you. Dear Lord God, we thank you for your Word. We thank you for your Bible. Man, Lord, your mercy and your grace is unmatched, God, and I thank you for that. So, Lord, I pray that as we leave tonight, Lord, that we think on things, that we take time to meditate in your Word, God, that we're led by your Word, and that we're motivated by you, and motivated by the Spirit working in and through our lives. God, we thank you, give you all the honor and glory. In Christ's name we pray. Amen. So, as per usual, if you'd like to stay and pray, absolutely. Otherwise, thank you for coming out this evening.